is Jennifer Coleman, the Outreach Director at the Oregon Environmental Council. Welcome back, Jen.
Well, thank you, and it's good to be here.
Yeah, okay. So a year ago, we spoke right about at the same time at the legislative session's beginning, in particular about a bill about children, products for children.
That's right. It's and that same bill, a very similar bill with a few changes, is now called the Toxic Free Kids Act, and it's being considered by the Senate committee this year.
Okay, and what's that committee?
It's the let me double check. I think it's the health or it's the Natural Resources Committee of the Senate.
Okay, that makes sense. Although, you know, where bills end up isn't necessarily what makes sense.
Yeah, you know, the same bill was considered by a health committee last year, and this year it was referred to the Environment and Natural Resources Committee.
Okay, so let's talk about what the bill is.
Sure, it actually is a great bill at the intersection of health and the environment, and what it's doing is taking a look at the products that children use every day, infants and children, so their toys and their clothes and their bedding, and looking for manufacturers to reveal when they use chemicals that are known to be hazardous to children's health in these products. So under the bill, the Toxic Free Kids Act, manufacturers would be required to notify the health authority when they're using chemicals of concern to children's health.
Now, is this different from a requirement to label?
It is different from a requirement to label. The way it stands right now is that no manufacturer has to tell anybody what chemicals that they're using in their products. So regulators don't know, doctors don't know. In some cases, manufacturers don't even know because they might be taking components from a bunch of different places in the supply chain built by a different bunch of subcontractors. So they have all of these components and don't necessarily keep track of all of the different chemicals in there. So this bill would be about just starting to track those chemicals in a way that then also clues in the public health officials.
Okay, so who would actually get notified?
So the way it would work is that the Oregon Health Authority would get the notification and track the notification from these manufacturers. And then the Oregon Health Authority would also have the responsibility to make that information available.
So then there could be press releases, yeah?
Exactly, or reports to legislature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the idea is, you know, what we're looking at here is as many as 66 different chemicals that in some way are related to children's health. They may be carcinogens, they might interfere with development or reproduction. All of these different chemicals in all different combinations, you know, that would be a lot to put on a label, and then even more of a burden for consumers to figure out, you know, what's going to be safe, what's going to be harmful. So it's really more about mobilizing our medical and health authorities to start tracking this information and paying attention to what it does to children's health instead of putting that burden on consumers.
Huh. It seems like the people who would want to know this are people making the choice to buy a product. But, you know, with the way products are so global, you know, you get a piece here and a piece there, and it's, you know, it's like you, I mean, unless you're buying a blueberry and you're at the farm.
Oh, that's right. You know,
but we don't do that with pajamas.
Don't do that with pajamas, right. And I do think that, you know, consumers having the confidence in the products to feel like they're making safe and healthy choices is important. Having good information about those, you know, the components in those products, also very important for consumers. But I don't think that it should be the burden of parents alone, you know, that all children, no matter how clued in their parents are to health and safety of products, all children should be protected from these things that undermine health. So I think that it's good for consumers to have information. It's important for them to have information, but it's also important for the state to be protecting children's health.
I would agree. It seems this is complicated.
It is complicated,
so,
right?
So, let's take a different tack. So who thinks this bill's a bad idea?
Well, you know, the opposition that we're seeing as we bring policies before the state to protect children's health from chemicals, most of that opposition is coming from the American Chemistry Council, which is a huge lobbying organization, industry organization that represents the people who make chemicals. And what they're saying, you know, for years what they said is these are chemicals are safe, you don't have to worry about it. And what they're saying now is, oh, well, we're going to reform chemical policy on the federal level, so states shouldn't need to take action. You know, that's the refrain we hear a lot is, you know, we've got this under control, you don't need to take action. In the meantime, you know, we haven't seen any reform of the federal law that has never really worked to regulate chemicals in consumer products. You know, year after year goes by with stalled federal action.
On pretty much anything.
On pretty much anything, right.
But right, certainly, so that we're supposed to trust that, yeah, that on the federal level anything would change? Not likely.
That's right. So it's definitely chemical manufacturers who are you know, defending the status quo. Uh-huh. They would really rather not have more scrutiny on how their chemicals might be affecting people's health. Right. And then we've also seen the Toy Industry Association come out in opposition. And these are the folks that represent the really big manufacturers of children's products. We're talking about, you know, Hasbro and Mattel, you know, these big sort of global manufacturers. And again, they would rather not have it implicated that the products that they're using aren't safe for children. You know? So,
right.
So not seeing a lot of local businesses in Oregon come out in opposition, mostly what we're seeing is these big industry associations.
And that seems logical. They're the people that make the money on these products.
Yeah, and it's big money. You know, this chemical industry is you know, multi-billion dollar companies.
Hmm. But now, we're not talking about foods, we're not or things that you put inside your body. We're just talking about the stuff we use, right?
Yeah. I mean, what we're looking at is the products that children interact with every day. And we know that there are four different routes of exposure, right? One way that people are exposed to chemicals is when you put them in your mouth, mm-hmm. when you eat something, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But it's also just contact with the mouth. So we know that babies are constantly putting things in their mouths, whether they're designed to be there or not.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. So
right.
One route of exposure is through the mouth. The other is absorption through the skin. So mm-hmm. we're looking at products like lotions and baby shampoos that come in contact with children's skin on a mm-hmm. regular basis. Inhalation is a route of exposure. So, you know, one of the things we're looking at is, you know, they'll do tests of household dust and find that a lot of these chemicals will migrate out of children's products and into household dust, where they can then be inhaled by babies, especially little guys crawling around on the floor.
Mm-hmm, because they're close to the dust.
Exactly, yeah. So the way that this bill works is that it asks for disclosure of chemicals in all products that are designed for children. And then it pays special attention to those products for children under 3, the ones who are going to be most vulnerable and most likely to have these kinds of exposures. And what it asks for is that over the course of 5 years, those businesses that have identified chemicals of concern in their products are asked to phase out those chemicals in favor of safer alternatives, especially for those products for the little guys.
Well, that seems kind of reasonable. Okay, well, how about who's on the other side? Who's supporting it? besides me and you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Anne, that you're supporting it. I am too. And we're seeing support come from sort of all angles of the economy here in Oregon, but we have a collection of more than 70 businesses, health organizations, and others who are joining together in support of this act. So we're seeing, you know, toy manufacturers here in Oregon and retailers of toys, but also, you know, the Oregon Medical Association, the Nurses Association, you know, folks that are clued in to children's health and dealing with chronic disease and the costs of chronic disease. These are the people who really want to see action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So going back to what this would actually do, if Oregon passes this and I mean, manufacturers are making their stuff in Indonesia and China and whatever, and shipping it all over the United States. Then, if they make a list, well, it's only available to Oregon. Well, let's say Nevada says, well, we want to see the list.
Right.
And then, you know, Connecticut says, well, could you send us the list? I'd like an email of the list, please, because I want to see, I want to see what's on the list. And like, oh man, I don't like that. Mattel, I don't like that. I mean, I'm trying to see, like, how does it go? How does it spread?
Well, you know, what's interesting, Anne, is that the first folks to have this concept of disclosure of toxic chemicals was Washington State. And they passed a law a few years ago requiring basically the same thing, that major manufacturers of children's products have to start reporting to the Department of Ecology in Washington when their products contain these chemicals. And the bill has been phased in over a few years, so we're finding new data for the new reporting requirements year after year, and finding that there are, you know, more than 4,000 individual reports from businesses saying, yeah, sure enough, we're using these chemicals in our products. So you can actually go to the Washington Ecology Database and look up product categories and find out what kinds of chemicals are in them. So that information is available online for anyone who wants to see it. I think that you know, the reason to have Oregon do something similar is that it empowers our health authorities to start taking a look at it. You know, that at this point, you know, they don't have any directive or mandate to go in and look at those, you know, thousands and thousands of records. And here it would be sort of giving them some direction, saying this is of concern to Oregon, this is of concern to children's health, this is something that Oregon State should be looking at.
That is just, it's amazing that we're not the first, right? But Washington is a very progressive state. Okay, so if Washington has it, are there other states?
Well, you know, there are, one of the things that happened, Anne, sort of big picture, is that there's this federal law, 1976, the Toxic Substances Control Act, and that was supposed to be the law that regulates chemicals in consumer products and makes sure that they're safe. Mm-hmm. That law has never really worked very well. And in 2005, 10 years ago, the Government Accountability Office in Washington, D.C., declared the law a failure. It basically said, you know, we're taking a look at it, and we see that it's not working to ensure that products on the shelves are safe.
Oh, God.
So that was about 10 years ago, and in that time, we've seen states all over the nation step up with their own proposals for protecting kids. And we've seen, you know, more than half the states in the nation pass different kinds of laws to regulate these chemicals. Mm-hmm. And there are more policies being considered in 2015, and they all take a slightly different angle, right? So some of them are about, let's identify the chemicals that are the biggest problem and deal with them. So there's, you know, a dozen states that are just identifying the chemicals. There are another dozen states that are looking at chemicals that we already know to be of big concern and taking them on one at a time, like toxic flame retardants or phthalates, which is a kind of a class of chemicals that's used in plastics. So there are a lot of different approaches. I think what I like most about Oregon's approach is that it sets up a system to start looking at chemicals across the board. You know, instead of waiting for one chemical to pop its head up as being the bad guy, you know, here we are looking across the range of chemicals at the things that might be harming children.
I'm having just a hard time getting my brain around the whole of how big this is. It's a very big topic.
It is a big topic, yeah. I think, you know, one thing to keep in mind, too, is, like, when it comes to children's health in particular, it's a picture puzzle, right? There's thousands and thousands of pieces that add up to healthy kids. And it means, you know, genetics, and it means the food and nutrition that they're getting growing up, and it means keeping stress levels low and having the resources you need. Like, there's all kinds of things that go into a healthy kid. And this is one of the things. You know, looking at these chemicals in consumer products is one piece of the puzzle. So it isn't, it isn't like, you know, the only thing out there when it comes to health, but it's one of those things that we've ignored for a really long time, and it's, and we know enough now that we can't ignore it anymore.
So why wouldn't we want a bill that excludes adults? Why wouldn't we want, I mean, I know that children are more vulnerable in, you know, less developed immune system and are growing and are closer to the ground and where they may get more exposure, but it seems like these chemicals aren't good for anybody.
That's right. And they certainly, you know, they certainly occur in things like, you know, that aren't designed for children, things like shower curtains or flooring or paint, right?
Right.
But I think that, you know, Oregon Environmental Council really believes in taking a practical approach. You know, as you say, this is a huge issue. There's a lot of ins and outs. You know, so where can we focus in a really practical way and put our attention on something that's going to make a real difference for health in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the most important thing to do right now today? And so this bill is really about, let's look just at the chemicals where there's clear evidence that it causes harm to children's health, and just those products that go into children's mouths that are in their lives every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can focus on that, then we can have the greatest bang for our buck. You know, we're really looking at these early exposures that then are linked to a lifetime of health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you might be more resilient to a chemical later in life when you have a good, big, strong body, you
mm-hmm,
know. But
mm-hmm.
but if you're somebody who was exposed to some of these chemicals at an early age, you may be more vulnerable even as an adult.
Right.
To
you
more
might
exposures.
You might have had liver damage or kidney
exactly.
damage or whatever.
Any or developmental damage. Sure.
No, that definitely makes sense. As a parent, I'm like right away want to go to, well, what are these and where are they and what should I avoid? You know, when I'm
sure.
thinking about, you know, God, we just, you know, went through the holidays. What kind of presents should not have been bought? I mean, so my brain is kind of going through, you know, I'm glad I don't have little kids. Oh, but I've got grandkids coming in. What do I do about, you know, those kind of choices, right? I'm knitting stuff. Okay, how about that?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, right? I'm making some slippers, so okay, it's wool, so that ought to be pretty good, right?
Yeah, you know, one of my jobs here at Oregon Environmental Council is to go out and talk to parents about making healthy choices in the home. You know, and there are some really practical things that people can do to reduce exposure. You know, one like I mentioned earlier, one of the places that these chemicals end up is in household dust. So just having a dusting regime where you go through once a week and, you know, dust the floor, dust the surfaces, that's controlling a source of exposure,
uh-huh.
you know. Things like getting good ventilation in your house and making sure that, you know, you're using the fans in the kitchen and bathroom. These are ways to draw some of that air that might hold some of these toxics out. So that you're having less exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely, you know, I'm an advocate of parents taking control and doing what they can when the information is available to reduce these exposures. But the truth is, you just can't shop your way out of the problem. You know, you do everything you can, and then there's still going to be exposures. And that's why, you know, I'm really counting on our legislature to step up and do something to protect children's health across the board.
Well, I would expect that it would be one of the things that constituents could contact their legislator, their representative, their senator, and ask them to support this measure.
Oh, absolutely. And I really do think it makes a difference. We have, you know, good champions this year who are endorsing the bill. The mm-hmm. sponsors of the bill are Senator Edwards, Representative Kenny Geyer, and Representative Gomberg. We have Senator Gelser, Senator Steiner Hayward, Representative Johnson from Hood River, you know, that we're seeing people come from across the aisle to support this bill. The big difference it's going to make when people call their representatives and ask them to support it is that it brings it to the top of the stack of the things that they need to pay attention to this year.
So, you know, how many bills are they looking at now?
Oh, you know, I don't have that number in front of me, but hundreds.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And all kinds of competing priorities. Mm-hmm. But this is a bill that has been introduced a few years in a row. It's Unfinished Business. It's very popular among Oregon voters, and also, you know, this whole range of supporters from healthcare and from other places across the state. But what is going to make a difference, what's going to bring it to the top of the stack, is when people across the state say that this is important to them.
I think it's really important. Can you, like, just name a couple of chemicals, of harmful chemicals, just so people can get an idea of, like, oh, that, you know,
sure.
Like, we haven't mentioned anything in particular, so how about something in particular?
Well, one group of things in particular are heavy metals, you know, lead and mercury and arsenic. And again, these are things that may occur in very, very tiny amounts in different products, you know, that they're used as stabilizers in pigments, in paint on children's products, or they might be used, you know, in a piece of children's jewelry in a tiny little amount. But it becomes a problem when you think that, you know, these heavy metals may be in a range of thousands of different products that our children interact with every day. Another sort of culprit is a class of chemicals called phthalates. And these are chemicals, you know, that there's a whole bunch of different kinds of phthalates. They all do the same kind of thing, which is to soften plastic. So things like shower curtains, where you have that flexible plastic that's still strong enough not to tear, that's likely made with this chemical class called phthalates.
What about things like pacifiers and bottles?
You know, baby bottles, like hard, clear baby bottles, for many years were made with a chemical called bisphenol A. And when it became clear that that was a chemical that would leach out of the plastic and potentially cause harm, it sort of parents across the country thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is the perfect situation for my child to be exposed when they're drinking from that same bottle every day. So that's a chemical that has largely been phased out of on a voluntary basis. But it's still a chemical that might, you know, sort of inadvertently appear in a child's product. You know, we think we're safe from it now because baby bottle manufacturers aren't using it anymore. But when you have a novelty product or some dishware that children are using, that's where you're going to see BPA. And that's one of those chemicals that's on this list for disclosure.
Yeah, I think these would be great ones to know about.
Sure.
Okay, so heavy metals, phthalates, and BPA. What about things like, and I don't know, maybe this is crazy, but pesticide residue. Is it possible that there could be products that are somehow, you know, somehow agriculturally based that might even have that?
Yeah, you know, pesticides are certainly, you know, the kind of class of chemicals that we want to take a really close look at. I couldn't tell you offhand if there are pesticides on this list of 66 chemicals, but I can tell you things like solvents that are used, you know, in all kinds of manufacture are another class of chemicals that tend to be really active. Flame retardants, you know, you would think that flame retardants are a good thing, but these chemical additives that are put into products to make them resistant to flame have actually turned out to be pretty toxic. So, yeah, there's a whole range of different chemicals. And, you know, the sort of essential problem is that these chemicals we know are being produced in thousands and thousands of pounds every year for use in consumer products, but we don't know, you know, mostly because the law is broken, we don't know where they occur. So when it comes to, you know, the scientific researchers who are trying to figure out, well, what is the connection between these rising rates of chronic disease and some of these chemicals that children are exposed to? Well, the big blank spot in the middle of that equation is, well, we don't know. We don't know where children are being exposed or when or in what quantities, because we don't know where these chemicals are.
Yeah, we don't know what. We don't know what we're getting exposed to.
Exactly, yeah. So this starts to, you know, the thing I like about it as a reasonable approach coming from Oregon State is it starts to just get the information we need in order to start making good decisions. And then, you know, it does go that step further and says, you know, there are safer alternatives available out there that are just as practical and work just as well, but are just inherently safer. And when those exist, we should be using them. You know, so it gives manufacturers 5 years to switch over to these safer alternatives where they're available.
And that sounds pretty generous.
I think it's pretty generous, yep.
I mean, it's like, you know, like the student waiting until the night before, even though the essay was assigned 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. You don't want to waste any time.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, we've got to design our whole program, set up our whole protocol for testing, and then figure out how to communicate what we find. And
that's right. And we're talking about, you know, the law is really focused on companies that gross $5 million or more in sales every year. So we're not talking about the little guys.
We're probably not talking about, then, in that case, very many Oregon companies.
Not very many Oregon companies, yeah. It's the companies that are selling in Oregon. Mm-hmm. You know, many of them really massive companies. You know, and it's true that it takes some doing for them to start paying attention to their supply chain and figuring out where these chemicals are and doing that due diligence. But it's not like it's going to be, you know, the biggest expense in their entire business. You know, these are huge, huge businesses.
So do you think that this bill passing would have any impact on Oregon businesses in a negative way?
Well, you know, I really think that the advantage of this bill for Oregon businesses, for Oregon retailers in particular, is that, you know, for the parents who are worried about making these choices for their children, it's going to restore consumer confidence. It's going to say, you know what, we're paying attention, mm-hmm. and we've got your children's health in mind. So, you know, feel free to shop mm-hmm. from Oregon shelves and know that we have your best interests in mind. The other thing that's sort of extraordinary about Oregon is that it's one of these places where we have these fantastic research centers. We have the businesses who are sort of ahead of the pack looking at some of the stuff on a voluntary basis. And this gives them a little nudge, a little leg up when it comes to, you know, the global market starting to have more stewardship over chemicals. You know, and if we mm-hmm. say this is a value here in Oregon, we value safer products, you know, then it's a little spur to those businesses to start developing those safer alternatives.
Right. All right. So contact information for you.
You know, the best place to find out more about this bill is oeconline.org. And you'll find there information about the Toxic Free Kids Act. You can find the number of the bill so you know exactly what to look for. There's a pledge there that you can take in support of that bill, and we'll let your legislators know that you're speaking up on behalf of it. And there's tons more information about what this bill means.
Great. Well, thank you so much. It's been great talking. I'm glad we got to do it again. And, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Ann. Take care.
Okay. My guest has been Jennifer Coleman, the Outreach Director of the Oregon Environmental Council. I'm Ann Goldine.